Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Pick and Pop podcast, where we spend about 10 to 15 minutes every week talking about the ins and outs of Australian basketball in the past 7 days. And joining me on the line, as always, Damien Arsenis from the pickandroll.com.au. Damien, how are you?
Very, very good. And of course, even though we're sort of in the off season and Europe's coming to an end and everything, there's just been so much basketball news involving Australians this week.
Absolutely. So we're going to get straight back into it. We're going to get right into it. We're going to get cracking. Jonah Bolden, take this name down. It's starting to get a bit more publicity now. It's been, I know before I jumped on board when Chris Tyler was hosting, you guys were talking him up. Yous were all over him. So we've been a big fans of him here at the Pick and Pop. And, you know, he's just signed a deal for EuroLeague team. You know, he's got workouts in the NBA. He's probably going to get drafted next week. He's the next big name in Aussie basketball, Damo. Just run us through what he's been up to this week.
Yeah, well, he's a rising star, absolute star. Of course, he dropped out of UCLA to pursue his first professional season over in Serbia with FMP Belgrade. Yep. And he's guided them to the Super League Grand Final. So the Grand Final of Serbia, which is fantastic.
It's massive news.
It's massive news. And the team that owns his right, which is Crvena Zvezda, otherwise known as Red Star Belgrade, they were going to be their opponents in the grand final. And what they've come out and done have said, well, you're going to come and play with us next season, signed him up, shipped him off to the US so he can go and prepare for the NBA draft. And, of course, he's got his first NBA workouts in LA on Saturday US time.
Yep.
So he's got his first workout. But basically, he helped guide his team to the grand final with FMP Belgrade, taking on the team that owns his rights and owns the team that he's been playing with. And basically, they've shipped him off and said, no, you're not playing in the grand final. You're not going to try and beat the team that owns you. So you're going off to the US to go do your draft. So he signed a two-year deal. Unable to play in a grand final. He's first as a pro. And he's preparing for the NBA draft.
How good is that? I know a lot of the American draft websites, The Ringer and Draft Express and a few others, are really starting to pick up on him. They're saying, you know, this is a lottery talent hidden in the second round just because where he played last year, he was out of the spotlight, out of that college basketball spotlight, hidden away. So I'm doing some sensational things, you know, can make an immediate impact in the NBA. And right, he's going to be a name to watch come draft day. You know, you got him there. Yep. Terrence Ferguson, even though he's not an Aussie, he played in the NBL last year. So he's a name that all Aussies will know. Isaac Humphries probably going to go undrafted, but could get picked up in the final 10 picks. So there's a lot.
He's probably better off not being drafted.
And going through
the end of the day.
Going through the summer league route, yeah.
Yeah, and going the deli route, as I like to call it. Go and work out, because getting drafted in the second round means the team's got your rights and they can do, you know, pretty much whatever they want with you.
No, absolutely right. Let's move on. I think in the next week or two, we're going to have a massive draft chat because it's right around the corner.
Guys, get on him. Get on Bolden. He's the next big thing. And first rounder, I've been saying it for months.
Yep. Europe, Brock Modem. Bang.
Well,
back,
he's a champion.
Back to back. Damo, what happened?
What happened? He won back to back titles.
And how did it happen, I should say?
How did it happen? Look, at the end of the day, Žalgiris Kaunas were just too good for Liet Kabelis, which, of course, has Ben Madjin on the team.
Yes.
Another Aussie.
Yes.
And to a degree, it was Žalgiris' ability to shut down Madjin, who was provided a spark for their win in the series. But Brock Modem, he was really, really good. So in the deciding game, went to a fifth game. Brock Modem was relatively quiet. He had 5 points on 2 or 3 shooting in 16 minutes, but he lifted the championship trophy. He had another great season, 9.8 points a game, shooting a super efficient 58.8% from the field, and an amazing, get this, 49.8% from beyond the arc.
It's pretty much 50%. That is massive.
So he got the win. Madjin had a great season too, almost 12 points a game, 4 rebounds, 2.2 assists. He shot 41% from beyond the arc and 51% from the field. He had an absolute sensational season, and unfortunately for David Anderson, his fairy tale run bombed out from getting to the grand final in France.
Yeah, well, David Anderson's a veteran in Europe, so I'm sure he'll be able to bounce back because he's spent a lot of time over there. But I think it's great to see Brock Modem, I mean, like you said, lifts in the trophy. He had some big games in that final series.
He certainly did.
I mean, you can listen back to the past episodes where we talked about that. He had a massive impact. There's no doubt about it. Hey, we spoke about this last week about the three-on-three basketball format. You know, we talked about the Aussies playing in Mongolia and all that type of stuff. And, I mean, we're going to speak about some Aussie girls in just a little bit, but it's now an Olympic sport, Damo.
Correct.
That's
exactly right. And that's why we've been talking about it. That's why I've been getting excited about it. This was on the horizon for some time. FIBA has been, that's the world governing body for the sport, has been on this for a long, long time. And a lot of people say it's about the money and it's about all these different things. But if you think about it, streetball's been big across the world for a long, long time now. And all they've done is they've formalised it, put a structure in place,
yeah.
And they've got a world tour of professionals basically now. So unlike, you know, to a degree, you're going to have two different basketball sports now at the Olympics. And
yeah.
Across Australia have really been slow to grasp this form of the game. And it's only been recently through CLB 3-on-3. We talked about Townsville going to Mongolia. Well, we've got the World Cup coming up in France for the Open Women. We've actually got an Australian team, but they pretty much are going there by default because New Zealand weren't able to qualify a team. Of course, New Zealand's men are going as a best-ranked team, and Australia is just absolutely lagging behind them just because we haven't had the sheer number of events and enough participants, unlike New Zealand, which has sunk a bit of money in the 3-on-3. But it's all about the Australian women this weekend. They're heading off with a team of WNBL players. We've got Carly Mirvich, Nadine Payne, Amelia Todd-Hunter, and Rebecca Cole. I actually caught up with Rebecca Cole this week. They've had a very limited preparation. It's been hard to get all the girls together during their relevant state league Siebel seasons and so forth. So they've had a limited preparation. And none of these girls have really played an organised 3-on-3 competition before. So it's going to be interesting to see how they go. And they're certainly going to be looking to put their best foot forward. And Beck Cole said, look, they're aiming for a medal. To me, it's going to be how quickly they can grasp the shorter form of the game.
Yeah, because it's a lot different playing that compared to a structured 5-on-5 team game. It's a completely different format. I mean, I do like it at the Olympics. Yeah, I've seen a few people say, oh, if that's an Olympic sport, well, then anything can be because it's like a playground sport. But how many times in the last decade have we heard people say, oh, I don't care about the Olympics. It's boring. It's this, that. This gives us some excitement, something new, something innovative. I like it. I'm really looking forward to it. It's not going to impact the traditional basketball tournament.
No, not at all.
So I'm really looking forward to it. Hey, speaking of...
And you nailed it. It's quick, fast, and you have to be super fit
in
this form of the game, and you have to be athletic. So the good thing from my point of view, I think the Aussie women have actually got a pretty good team that sort of fits that mold.
Absolutely. Hey, speaking of national teams, big news this week for the Boomers. 20-man squad for the 2017 FIBA Asia Cup has been announced for a training camp on the Gold Coast next month. Now, we have to mention first up, NBA.
No NBA players.
Yeah, not available because of the timing of the tournament, which is a bit of...
Probably more to do so with having a break.
Yeah, having a break.
They're all available for the Olympics last year.
Yeah.
And to a degree, that goes the same with the European players. They've all basically gone back-to-back-to-back seasons. So for them and having a break. But having said that, we've got David Anderson there. We've got Chris Goulding there.
It's full of NBL guys. I mean, Blanchfield, Brand, Anderson, Kadee, Creek, Glidden, Golding, Hodson, Tommy Jervis, Nick Kay, Kickett, Lish, Magin, Majuk, McCarron, Newley, Norden, Sobey, Steindl, and Wagstaff. I mean,
there's certainly a lot of talent.
There's a lot
there.
Of talent, yeah. Probably
Asia's is a different kettle of fish for us too.
Yeah, you'd probably say AJ Ogilvy. It's probably the one name that, maybe why isn't he there? But I don't think he moves the needle that much. And there's relationship issues there.
You can kind of
fit the pieces there, can't you?
Yeah, to me, he probably should be in the squad. And look, if they're fit, and I don't know if they are, the likes of Damian Martin, Jawai.
Right. Alex Marich.
Even Alex Marich is another one. Of course, Cameron Bairstow, as part of the Olympics, is out injured.
Yeah.
And then you've got European stars like Brokoff and Moten. They're not there, but
obviously,
they're probably having a break as well. So, but look, it's a great squad, and FIBA Asia is a different kettle of fish. You know,
it is.
We go in as the number one ranked nation. New Zealand is going in highly ranked as well. And really, the likes of China and Iran and some of these teams who have sort of been the mainstays at the top of the table, you know, they're going to struggle to match it with Australia and New Zealand moving forward.
Absolutely. And it's good to see a lot of rising stars. Sobey, Creek, Kadee, the next wave of Australian basketball talent. That will be good to see. Hey, speaking of the FIBA Asia Cup, before we finish, We could be hosting it in 2021 if basketball. It was announced in, I think, the Herald Sun broke the story. Anthony Moore just talking about this grand, ambitious plan in the full details, pickandroll.com.au. But Basketball Australia, they've put a bid. It's backed by the government. They want 2021. They want the Asia Cup. We saw the success that the soccer had when they hosted the Asians Trophy. I think it was 2015. There were games at Amy Park between like Iran and Japan or whoever. That was like Jordan and all these little countries that were selling out because people just wanted to go watch the soccer. Could have the same impact. 2022, I'll just go through quickly. 2022, yeah, they want the FIBA World Cup for women. 2027, they want the big one, the World Cup. And that would be absolutely massive for Australian basketball. Mm. That would be huge.
It certainly would. It's been a long, a bit of a drought for that kind of level of competition.
It has been, yeah.
Yeah, for the women, we did host the World Championship back then, as it was known, back in 1994.
Yep.
Australia hosted that. And, of course, then you got to go to the 2000 Olympic Games since we last saw
level
of competition. And,
yeah.
We're 2017 now and we've had nothing since. So it's great that we're now looking to put together a plan. Of course, there was initially talks that Australia might bid for the 2023 FIBA World Cup for men. That's been shelved. It's probably a good move.
Yeah.
We've got the Tokyo Olympics in Asia.
Yeah.
The other World Cup escapes me where it is now. They're all in our sort of region. So it's probably a good decision to allow the Northern Hemisphere to have another crack at it before bringing it back down to the Southern Hemisphere or Asia again. So some really exciting times. And, of course, they've talked up Victoria as potentially being the primary host for these events, given the facilities are pretty much all in place.
Yep.
And they've gone as far as to say the likes of Bendigo, Ballarat and Geelong could host some of these events as well, which is fantastic. But could you imagine the MCG potentially hosting a World Cup Grand Final?
That would be unbelievable. I'm not sure at the MCG I wouldn't want to have level 4 seats to that particular game.
You'd need binoculars, wouldn't you?
But hey, we've seen the NBA All-Star game be held at Cowboys Stadium, which is 100,000 seat capacity, which was sold out. So it's definitely a viable option. It's massive news for Basketball Australia. A lot of people say the company lags behind a bit, but this is a massive bid. And if it pays off, the dividends are going to be absolutely unbelievable.
We also got to look at the players Australia's likely going to have over the next decade or two.
Absolutely.
We are entering one of the most promising periods for Australian basketball we've ever seen. And the men, we finished fourth and one whistle away from the first ever medal.
Yep.
And some of the talent we didn't have in that team that we've been talking up on this show for a long time to come into the team still.
Ben Simmons.
To keep the mainstays of the current team. It's just such an exciting time. And of course, the women, they're not going away either. So we've got some great times ahead.
Absolutely. So it's exciting times for Australian basketball. And of course, if you want to keep up with everything that is happening in the climate of Australian basketball, pickandroll.com.au is the place to be. Pickandroll.au on social media pages. Damo, appreciate your time and always, and we'll do it all again soon.
We certainly will. And you can always get Luke on social media, and particularly Twitter, Luke Sicari.
Yep.
And, of course, myself at Damien R. Sennis.
Absolutely. We'll catch you all next time.
Will do. Thanks, Luke.